We're doing midnight Bible stories. The more I think about it, the list kind of seems endless. There's a lot of them. And the reason for midnight Bible stories is to encourage our faith. Each midnight Bible story has a positive outcome. In the darkest of times, you think about it. If you can think of one that doesn't, let me know. But we defined midnight as being dark hours of the night. It can be thought of as dark times in our lives. And so we think of it in literal terms and figurative terms and then in spiritual terms. And we all will face some dark hours. How are we to handle it? And so it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have mentioned the Old Testament worthies of faith. And not by name, I don't believe, do we have a mention of Joshua. But by name, we do have a mention of Rahab. Not that she had any greater faith, because Joshua can be classified in that group of the prophets and so forth. But, you know, it's interesting that God would single her out, the Holy Spirit would single her out for us to study her life, and we do so mainly in the second chapter of Joshua, and we've been going over this for a while in these midnight Bible stories. And we started last week and ran out of time discussing the conversation that Rahab had with the two spies, something we hadn't spent a whole lot of time on yet, as we have spent a lot of time in the second chapter of Joshua. But we can only imagine the adrenaline rush felt by Rahab and the two spies, and especially when she hid them in the stalks of flax when they were being pursued by the men of Jericho. And I mean, you know, that was quite a deal. How was this going to end? They were thinking. And there was quite a adrenaline rush for Rahab, too. She risked her neck in saving alive these two special men from the children of Israel. But she was identifying herself with the children of God. And this is the thing that they all had in common, these three, Rahab and these two spies, and that is faith in God. And this becomes evident, Rahab's faith especially, as we start reading here in Joshua 2:9 through verse 13. Now, you've had plenty of time to turn there, so we'll move on into it. Joshua 2:9, and she, Rahab, said unto the men, I know, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and that was some 40 years before, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. This was most recently. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man here in Jericho because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, I hope you have taken time and will take the time to study this out further for yourself. This midnight conversation took place in close quarters, and it starts out with two very important words of faith. I know. That was found in Joshua 2:9. I know. The phrase, I know, is found in 135 scriptures. Anybody know what the number 135 is? If you do, let me know. I mean, but I'll tell you what it is. 135 is the product of 5, that's grace, times 27. Is that right? Maybe it's not right. Thinking about it, it might not be right. No, I think it is right. Yeah, that's correct. Okay. You know, you carry the one. 27 is the preaching of the gospel. Grace times the preaching of the gospel. So when Rahab says, I know something, we should note that the testimony of the children of Israel has been preaching the gospel of the grace of God unto her heart. There's no accident that the Lord leaves these little tidbits, these phrases in Scripture just the way he does. And we next observe that not only did Rahab know something, but that her knowledge revolved around what the Lord could do. She states, I know that the Lord, the meaning here is that the Lord has done something and that he will continue to do something, and that she is looking for the Lord to do something, not only for the children of Israel, for whom he's done so much, but also for her. That's faith. And this theme is highlighted in Hebrews 11. That is, by faith, I know that the Lord will do something for me. Can you say that for yourself? Yeah. In Psalms 135:5, hold your place in Joshua 2, but you might want to look at this. In Psalms 135:5, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? We just talked about the number 135 being a product of 5 times 27. And Psalm 135:5 says this. The psalmist writes, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. He knows something too. And in reality, Rahab was making this very same statement. She was saying, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. She was identifying herself as a believer in the Lord God. Now, if you go back here to Joshua 2 and look, you will find that Rahab makes mention of the Lord four times in these 5 verses that we read. And twice she makes mention of God. So all of this, again, points to the fact that she believed God. And, of course, this pleased God, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For all that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Well, Rahab, for sure, was diligent about seeking him this midnight hour. But here's another thing you should take note of concerning Rahab. In the conversation, in these few words that we have spoken from her, recorded in Scripture, the main topic of her conversation is the Lord. If we start our conversations with, "I know that the Lord," it would then show who is the main focus in our lives. You think about it for yourself. How long does it take in a conversation for us to get to the Lord? Okay. And Joshua 2:9, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Think about this. Had the children of Israel, at the time of Kadesh Barnea, when the 12 spies came back and returned with their report, had they believed God with the same faith that Rahab now had displayed and had stated, "I know that the Lord hath given us the land," God wouldn't have had to, about the time of 40 years, suffered or bore or fed them as a nurse beareth or feedeth her child, suffered he their manners in the wilderness, as is recorded in Acts 13:18. And we wouldn't have had this wonderful story of Rahab to study had they, 40 years before, believed like Rahab now believed. Rahab probably didn't even exist 40 years before. She wasn't born yet. So we find that Rahab displayed faith not found in the majority of the children of Israel nearly 40 years earlier. Well, how did Rahab, how did she get so smart? How did she know that the Lord hath given you the land? They hadn't conquered the land yet, had they? This is before the fact. Rahab knew this by faith. That is, she believed the one true God, the Lord God of Israel, and she believed that God had given the Israelites the land he had so long before promised Abraham. He would give Abraham's seed, this starting way back in Genesis 12. Rahab resided in this land of Canaan, but she knew that the Lord had given this land to the children of Israel. Again, that's faith. And Hebrews 11:1 defines faith, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I know the Lord has given you the land. It hadn't happened yet. It was things unseen, but she believed it by faith. By faith, Rahab saw a lot more than the children of Israel inheriting the land of Canaan. By faith, Rahab saw herself and her household saved alive and dwelling with the children of God in the land of Canaan simply because she also believed in the Lord God of Israel. Now, let's recall some statements that these two spies, because Rahab has been a witness to them, if you will, a testimony to them, and they've also heard some things in their own ears, with their own ears, in recent days of their lives. They had heard Moses speak some final words that are recorded in his speech called the Book of Deuteronomy. This was before Moses died. Remember, these two spies were no doubt from prominent households. They probably had front row seats as Moses gave this speech to the children of Israel. So let's look at some verses found in Deuteronomy, starting in Deuteronomy 2:25, taken right out of Moses' speech. He didn't have a teleprompter, but he did speak the words of the God. And this is what we find in Deuteronomy 2:25. When Moses was speaking, he said, "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee." This was already taking place. Rahab's testimony was witness to this. These two spies must have, if they could have looked at one another, thought, "We've already heard this from Moses. What she's telling us is the same thing." Deuteronomy 11:25. Turn there. Look at this one. These two spies had heard Moses say this. Deuteronomy 11:25. "There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you." It's almost a quote from Rahab, too, isn't it? She already knew this, and she hadn't even heard Moses' speech. Go to Deuteronomy 26:8. No, Moses, again, making the children of Israel know what had taken place and what was going to take place. And he says in Deuteronomy 26:8, "And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness." That word terribleness means fear, terror, or dread. "And with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders." Now, as these two spies heard Rahab give her little dissertation, her testimony, if you will, her proclamation of faith, where she makes so much mention of the Lord and so forth in Joshua 2:9-13, they've heard Moses say the same thing she's saying. And they must have looked at one another in amazement as Rahab spoke. And they had to have simultaneously agreed that these statements of Rahab could only be a confirming sign from the Lord. Why did Joshua send them into Jericho, into the land? It wasn't to go to the house of a harlot, which they ended up in. It was to find out what's going on. And but she told them what was going on. And this opening statement of Rahab in Joshua 2:9, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." These thoughts, this statement was impressive enough in the minds of the two spies that when they got back to Joshua, in verse 24, they repeated these words of the testimony of Rahab, "Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." They could have added, as Moses told us they would. But there's a woman there. She knew this too. They felt, they on the opposite side, feel this thing. Feel the power of the Lord. Now, Rahab in our midnight Bible story makes some requests in Joshua 2:12 and 2:13, and she requests the following oath from or of the two spies. Joshua 2:12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Make an oath. Since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So basically, in these two verses, we find Rahab requesting two things from the two spies. And she, remember, she's accepted them as messengers from the Lord. But as messengers from the Lord, they need to deliver a message too, back to Joshua. First, she requests an oath of the two spies, that is, a sworn statement witnessed by the Lord. And the oath that she and her house, the oath was this, that she and her house would be saved from the certain death that they would otherwise soon face. And the second part of their oath was that they would give her a token, that is, a distinguishing mark or a sign or a banner or a remembrance of some sort. And in Rahab's case, as you know from studying this story, this token was the line of scarlet thread in the window that we found in verse 18, which we discussed a couple, 3 weeks ago in this class. You can go back and review this. The oath Rahab was requesting of the two spies is summarized in the words of verse 13, and deliver our lives from death. Okay? Wait, Rahab was requesting from the Lord and from the spies deliverance or salvation from death for those of her house. There's a number that has to do with deliverance or salvation. Anybody remember what that number is? It's the number 14. You have your list of numbers if you need a list of numbers. See me. I give out lists of my numbers every week. These are not my numbers, but it's from My Numbers Study that you can find on the internet in our Living Waters website. Now, she wanted the spies to deliver our lives from death. The two words from death are found how many times in Scripture? Anybody know? Good guess, Hagen. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, but that's why we're talking about it. Because it's no accident that the Lord would use that phrase 14 times. I'll give you a couple examples where we find the words from death in Scripture. Psalms 116:8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I'll give you one in the New Testament, found in John 5:24. John 5:24. Here we read this statement. Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Well, back to Rahab. She had received the spies and peace, the two messengers from the Lord, and she had confessed to them her belief in the Lord God, having stated in verse 11, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Thus, because of her belief in the Lord God, she too shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. as we know to be a true statement. In Acts 16, 30 and 31, we'll get to this midnight story sometime, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries. Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. And in Acts 16, 30 and 31, we find the Philippian jailer asking Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Sounds like the oath Rahab was requesting, wasn't it? She was requesting salvation for herself and her house. By faith, Rahab was in a similar fashion to Noah, preparing an ark to the saving of her house. And what we find in Hebrews 11:7, the statement of faith of Noah: "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." This same kind of ark-building faith, meaning salvation from the Lord, Rahab was now exhibiting when she requests in Joshua 2:12 and 13 the oath from the two spies, where she says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And of course, this was a request, and this request calls for a response, and the response is found in Joshua 2:14. "And the men, the two spies, answered her, 'Our life for yours if ye utter not this our business.'" Verses 17 through 20 of Joshua 2 tell the parting words that the two spies spoke to Rahab on that now famous midnight Bible story that we're reading about. Joshua 2:17. And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house, or thy house, into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And so this completes the contract, if you will, the oath between the two spies and Rahab. And in verse 21, Rahab completes her part of the oath with the two spies, and she says, "According to your words, so be it." Now, we've been spending a lot of time on this story, but an important question needs to be asked here. In the end, whose responsibility is it to keep this oath? Is it the two spies' responsibility? Is it Rahab's responsibility? Or is it the Lord's responsibility? There you go. The purpose of this oath was to obtain salvation for Rahab and her house. So ultimately, the responsibility for obtaining salvation lies with the Lord, doesn't it? But the two spies and Rahab are also left with certain responsibilities, which boils down to this. Their responsibility is to believe God. And we know from Scripture that the two spies and Rahab did believe God. Now, let's tie this together. Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. And in Joshua 6:22 and in Joshua 6:25, we see that Joshua, whose name means Jehovah is salvation, he took on the responsibility of saving Rahab and her household, as the two young spies had sworn unto her in their oath. Joshua 6:22. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy Jericho. Now, a thought came to me this morning. Sometime between 2, midnight and 2 this morning, when I was down on my computer because I wasn't able to sleep, Kevin. You're not the only one. We all go through things like this. And I thought, you know, how appropriate. Here it is, midnight hour, and here I am down here studying about midnight Bible stories. One of our great men of faith that we talk about often is David. Well, guess what? Rahab is David's so many great grandmothers. It was come from a good lineage, didn't he? Just think about that. Nowhere in the story of Rahab, anywhere, do we read of her having served other gods. Now, she may have, but we don't read of that. And she did not turn the two spies away from following the Lord either. Rather, she, in her own way, she encouraged them to trust in their God. And she said this again in Joshua 2:11, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. He's not like any God that I may have seen or heard about. He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Since she mightily believed in the Lord God of Israel, she was allowed by the grace of God to remain alive and to become an important part of the history of Israel and an outstanding example of a worthy of faith. Now, we might run out of time before I finish this next part, but I want to get started with it this morning, because this will be our concluding thoughts, I think, concerning Rahab and the two spies. But before we leave this midnight Bible story, let's answer the following question. And by answering the following question, we will better appreciate all the rest of the midnight Bible stories that we find in Scripture. And the question is this: who is the main character in this midnight story of Rahab and the two spies? And to answer this question, we must identify all the characters that we find in Joshua 2. Here's the characters found in Joshua 2. First, we find Joshua. Then we find the two unnamed spies. And then we find Rahab. And then we find the king of Jericho and the men of the king of Jericho. And then we also find the Lord. I don't know how many characters that is, but that's few. So we'll answer the main character in this midnight story. In Joshua 2, the main character is the Lord. And the Lord is the main character of all midnight Bible stories. And the Lord better be the main character in all of our lives. He will be if we're ever going to be a full overcomer like Rahab, right? Now, Rahab, we'll hold that thought. Maybe, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, we'll finish this Bible story and get into another one. Pretty profound next time.